Okay, I know it's soon before Shabbos, but I just wanted to post this so you can have it at the very least for after Shabbos. These are tomorrow's Mishnayos, day number 8, Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. I actually just got back from Rowan's funeral. It was really beautiful. That's why I'm running a little late here. So let's see if we can do this. We are continuing the topic of people who are exempt from Kriyat Shema because they're involved in a different mitzvah. And the mitzvah that we've been talking about is actually Kvura, is taking care of someone who has passed away. Says the Mishnah, Kavru es hameis v'chazru, someone who's already been buried, and now the people are returning. What does that mean? So we mentioned the other day that there is a practice, and we still do it today, that before the Avelim return to their homes and sit Shiva, the first time that they actually get words of comfort is that all of the people at the funeral make two lines, almost like the splitting of the sea, right? The two lines, and the Avelim pass through, and as they pass through, everyone wishes them words of comfort. They say, Hamakom Yinachem Eschem. It's almost like showering words of love on them, which is a really beautiful idea. So after the person's already been buried and the people are returning to the place in which you're going to create these lines, says the Mishnah, Im yicholim lehaschil v'ligmor ad shelo yagi l'shura, if a person is able to begin Shema and finish Shema before they actually get to that line, before they begin the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim, then yaschilu, then they should start Shema. And the Gemara points out, the Mefarshim point out, that we're not talking about the entire Shema. It really just means the first pasuk or the first paragraph. If you have time to start and finish that first paragraph before you get to that line, you should go for it. Vim lav lo yaschilu, and if not, don't start, right? Because that relates to a Mishnah that we did have previously, that we do everything we can not to interrupt Shema, certainly not in the middle of a paragraph. So if you can't start and finish in time, at least when you finish the first paragraph, then you shouldn't even start. Ha'om de Meshur, the people are actually standing in lines, ha'paninim peturim, right? Imagine the inner people are pater from Kirshma. Imagine you have a lot of people. They can't, you know, that splitting the sea can't go on forever. So people, instead of going on length, they'll continue kind of build out. There'll be multiple rows, almost like it'll build out in width. So the people on the very front who are going to be, right, kind of face-to-face as the mourners go through, those people are peturim for Kriyat Shema. They're actually involved directly in the mitzvah. They're going to be saying the words, Hamakom Yinachem. V'achitzonim chayavim, the people who are back behind that first row are chayavim in Kriyat Shema. Because even though they're there to show respects to show their respects, to be there as comfort for the Avelim, they're not directly involved in the mitzvah of Hamakom Yinachem. They're in the back. So their presence is important, but they're not actually directly involved in the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim yet, and therefore they are chayav in Kriyat Shema. Says Mishnah Gimel, Nashim, Ve'avadim, Uketanim, women, servants, and children, Paturim, Kriyat Shema, Minat Tefillin. So these three people are patur. I want to be very clear that just the only thing that these three categories have in common is that they are patur from Kriyat Shema. The reason is very, very different. They are in similar groups. Children are patur because they couldn't possibly have the right kavanah. They're not in the right mindset. They're children, as we said before. Tefillin is very holy. Shema is very holy. They can't get involved in that. Servants, we're talking about avadim kananim. We're talking about non-Jews. Maybe you'd think that because they're in their Jewish household, they live with a Jewish master, maybe they'd be chayiv in those things because they're part of that household. Says the Mishnah, that's not true. Some explain that we're dafka talking about avadim kananim who have been so taken by Judaism in their master's household. They love it so much that they actually started to go through the conversion process. Says the Mishnah, they're still not chayiv until they're are fully converted, until they're no longer servants. And women is for an entirely different reason. Women are chayiv in all mitzvos, except for mitzvos hasei shazman grama. Time, positive time bound mitzvos. Mitzvos that you have to do now, you have to do within a certain time frame and not another time frame. We know that Shema is one of those, right? Shema, we had our opening Mishnayos of the Masechta. It was when is the time for Shema, and when's the time in which you miss Shema, right? So there are very specific... let me just close the door before the kids come here. There are very specific categories and times in which people do it. For same thing for tefillin as well. Tefillin, you say it during the day. So you put on tefillin during the day, but night is not the time for tefillin. Why women are pturos from mitzvah shei zman grama is its own topic. I'm happy to discuss it offline. I'm happy to maybe leave a different voice note, but it's something we're going to learn in 11th grade Gemara, so get ready. But all other mitzvos, women are chayiv, and even negative mitzvos that are time-bound, it's only positive time-bound mitzvos, they're only a handful. Says the Mishnah, v'chayavin, but all of those people are chayiv in tefillah, in mezuzah, in birchas hamazon. The truth is, they're chayiv in a lot of mitzvos. Why does the Mishnah point out those three? So the Mefarshim, we won't get into that now. The Mefarshim say maybe you would have thought dafka in those things, dafka in those mitzvahs, that they would be peturos. Maybe they're related to the things that you're exempt from, and therefore you'd think they're exempt from these also. So says the Mishnah, no, they're chayiv. So maybe working backward, birchas hamazon, maybe that's similar to something you say. Maybe it's like tefillah. Maybe you'd think it's time bound because it's whenever you eat and not when you're not eating, but that's not really what time bound means. Time bound means you know, specifically during the day or specifically at this hour, but you can eat whenever you want. You can say birchas mazon whenever you want. Mezuzah, maybe you'd think it's like tefillin, and therefore if women and children or and servants are pturas from tefillin, they should also be pturas from mezuzah, but we learn that that's not true. Whatever the reason that these three are listed, the Mishnah says they're chayav. I'll just point out that tefillah is a particularly interesting one because tefillah, the idea is that everyone should really have a relationship with Hashem and everyone should always be chayav in tefillah. But wouldn't you say that tefillah is a mitzvah sheis nazman grama, right? There are actually zmanim. We haven't learned it yet. We'll learn it in the fourth parak, but there's zmanim for tefillah. There's a time where you say, where you, up until a certain point, you daven, and up until you don't, you miss zman tefillah. So it is time-bound. So the idea is that, yes, even though the technical kind of the prescribed Shmona Esrei is time-bound, still the idea of tefillah is whenever you want. Everyone should always be in dialogue with Hashem. Everyone should have a relationship with Hashem in which they can always turn to Hashem and say and ask for something and be in that relationship. And therefore, that idea, a person is chayiv to always be in that relationship with Hashem. Therefore, tefillah in general is not time-bound and everyone is chayiv.